So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kodam Misaper Achrei Amei, Kilu Misaper Achrei Evin, a person who speaks in a denigrating, in a derogatory manner towards a mate, Kilu Misaper Achrei Evin, it's as if he's speaking to a rock. Igadamri, why is that? Because Delo Yade. One possibility is that the Meitim have no clue what's going on. That was one of the possibilities, one of the opinions we saw yesterday. Igadamri Diade, Velo Ichbet Lehu. Some say that they are aware, it just doesn't bother them. They're not interested. Ini, is that really true? Vama Rav Papa Chad Ishtai Milta Batre de Mar Shmuel. Person spoke inappropriately or denigrating manner towards or about Shmuel. V'nafal Kanya Mitalla, a log or a beam fell off of the roof. Ubazala Anako de Moche and split open his skull. It seems here that somebody got involved to rectify that situation. Or it says, Shani Tzuber de Rabbanan, Tukucha Brichu Tava Bikare. A Tzuber de Rabbanan, Yang Tamad Chochom, Hashem gets involved to take revenge or to protect his honor. So it wasn't Shmuel himself that was engaging this individual, it was a Kodesh Baruch Hu on behalf of Shmuel. So Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Kolam Asaper Achar Mitatan Shel Tamid Chachamim, Nofel Gehinom. Anybody speaks in an inappropriate, derogatory manner about a Talmid Chacham, Achar Mitatam means possibility of two things here. Either Chay Mitatan is the Mita of the mate, meaning after the coffin or the person who's mate when they're dead. Or you could see here in the Masorat HaShatz, he brings the other possibility, which is Perisha Chay Mitatan Lashon Hatayahu. Chalom Atami Derech Yishara. Mitatan is a description of the nature of how they spoke about the Talmid Chacham. Shneamar, how do we know this? From the Pasuk in Tehillim, V'matim tal talotam, yolichem Hashem et polei aven, shalom al Yisrael. For those who turn aside to their crooked ways, Hashem will lead them away with the rest of the polei aven, those that do evil, those that sin. Shalom al Yisrael, but B'nai Yisrael, Yisrael will be in peace. Afilu b'shash shalom al Yisrael, even a time that there's peace amongst Israel, yolichem Hashem et polei aven. Hashem will still make sure that these people end up with the rest of the evildoers. And Tosa points out, Shalom Yisrael is a hainu lachar mitato. When is there always peace? After someone dies. There's only one side to an argument when the other person dies. So there's always shalom after the individual dies. So Shalom Yisrael says after the person dies, yet Hashem still says, in that instance, I will ensure those that speak evilly or inappropriately will be taken care of and placed with those the other sinners. Tana de Yisrael, Imraita Tamil Chacham Shavara Virabalaila. Person sees in the evening time that a Tamil Chacham has violated a sin. Altaher Achrabayom. Don't the next day have any questions about him. Shema so chuva, because maybe he did chuva. So there's no reason for you to keep that or think about that any longer. Shema Sakadatcha, when it says maybe he did chuva. Ella Vadayasa Chuva, he certainly did chuva. Avani Mili Bidvarim Shibagufo, that's only true when we're dealing with Ben Adam Lechaveiro issues that are not monetary in nature. Aval Bimuna Adabahadela Mare. In monetary matters, until he rectifies the monetary situation, then he do have the right to question his ethics, his morality in this situation. So this is connected to the Mishnah Avot, which is that we always have to be Dana et kol Adam Lekafsuchut. The person always have to look at them in a positive manner. There, Rabbeinu Yonah, in his explanation in Avot, divides up basically into three categories, which is that there is someone who is a tzaddik, someone who is a Talmid Chacham, which is found in our Gemara here. In that instance, there's no issue of Dan Lekaf Zechut. One must assume that all their actions that they take are to be interpreted to the positive. And even when they can't be interpreted to the positive, we have to assume that they've rectified the situation. So we always must think positively. On the other side, if a person is a Rasha, then one can interpret all their actions as being negative. One does not have to give the benefit of the doubt. One can assume that whatever they're doing is incorrect or inappropriate. The only time that this din of Dan Lekaf Zechut applies is for someone who's a Beinoni, person who is a middle-of-the-road person. And over there you have an action that can be interpreted in one of two ways. It can be interpreted positively or negatively. In that case, that's when we invoke the principle of the Mishnah Avot of Dan, have you done Dan Lekaf Zechut. You have to then, between the choices of negative and positive, take the positive side. And our Gemara is describing over here that other piece of the puzzle, which is the tzaddik or the Talmid Chacham, where you must always interpret their actions to be positive. From Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and you can, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Bechav dalid mikomot beit din min adin al kvod harav." There are 24 instances in which beit din puts someone into nidu, into excommunication, because they have not shown proper respect towards the Chachamim. Bikulan shaninu b'mishnatenu. And these 24 instances are all enumerated in the Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Elazar Heichal. Elazar says, where? So Tishkach, go ahead, you go look, go through the Mishnayot and you'll find them. So Navuach Dak Vashkach Tlat. He went out to search the Mishnayot and he found three cases that were found in the Mishnayot. Hamizazel Vinitilat Yadayim, Vamasaper Achar Mitatan Shel Talmidei Chachamim, Vamegiz Dato Klapei Mavo. Someone who demeaned the mitzvah of Nitilat Yadayim, washing one's hands. Person who spoke in an inappropriate manner, denigrated a Talmud Chacham. Vamegiz Dato Klapei Mavo, someone who was haughty or spoke inappropriately towards a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In that instance, we assume that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is just a Kavachomer of disrespect towards the Chachamim. So if one has disrespect for Hashem, then that would be included in this category. So now the Gemara is going to break down each of these three and show where they show up in the Mishnayot. Someone who spoke after a Talmid Chacham had passed away spoke in an inappropriate manner about them. Mahi. That's not the Mishnah Ediot. Hu Haya Omer. He's talking about a Kavya Ben Mehalel. He used to say, Ein Mashkin Lo Eta Gyoret Velo Eta Mishochreret. When it comes to the Mei Sota, the Mei Amarim of the Sota, where she's given to drink, it's only true if the woman was not a convert or a Shifcha Kananit that was freed. If his wife was one of those two, then there's no din of Sota, because the Parsha says, B'nai Yisrael. Chachamim Omrim, Mashkim. Chachamim say that's not true, that she also drinks like any other woman. V'amalo, Maseh B'Karkamit. So there was a case in Karkamit. Karkamit either can be the name of the city where she came from, or the name of the woman. Shifcha Mishuchweret B'Yushalayim. She was a Shifcha Kananit that had been freed, and now was married. Bishkua Shmaya V'Abtalion. Shmaya V'Abtalion, who were the leading rabbis at the time, they gave her to drink from the Mesota. So V'Amar Lahem, and Akavya Ben Ahalo said back to them, Dugma Hishkiua. That they only gave them a dugma. Here are the two possibilities they have to say about what is a dugma. The simpler understanding of that, what is Tosafot brings here, b'shem the oruch, is that they gave her a placebo. They didn't really give her the mesuta to drink. They just gave her the placebo in order to put pressure on her or cause her to be in a certain amount of fear in order to extract the truth from her in that instance. That's one possibility. Rashi brings the other possibility, which is dugma, means similar to them. Shmai Ve'Abtalion, we know, were converts, because they were from the Bnei Banim, they were descendants of Sancheriv. So their families were families of Gerim. So he basically says is that their psak followed their own lineage. They gave a Shifcha Mishuchwer to drink because they were also from that type of lineage as well. And so he says that we don't listen to them, or we're not going to follow their halacha, because, in a sense, he's saying they were biased. So now Binidul, they put him into excommunication for saying that. Umeit Biniduyav, and he died in that excommunication. Misaklu Beitin et Arono, and Beitin stoned his coffin. Over here, it doesn't literally mean Saklu, we'll see in a second, it means that they place a rock on it, or an indication that he never freed himself from that excommunication, and he's still at odds with the Beitin. V'amezalzel Binitilat Yadayim Mahi. What's this case of Mezalzel Binitilat Yadayim, someone who demeans the mitzvah minitilat yadayim? So this is a continuation there. It's impossible. Makav Mehalel certainly was not excommunicated. Shein azara nin elit al kol adam b'Yisrael b'chokhma v'tahara b'yirat chayit k'kavya ben Mehalel. The time of the Mikdash, they used to bring the Korban of Pesach and Erev Pesach in three different shifts. And then they used to close the doors of the azara, or in the time when it was still miraculous, the doors of the azara were closed by themselves for those three shifts. So he says that the doors of the Azara would not close on an individual, meaning that there would be no individual found on there. It was as great as Kavim Halel, the Chokhmah and wisdom, the Tarah and purity, and the Yirat Chait and fear of sin. So certainly he was not put into excommunication. Ela, et mi nidu. So what is the case? Instead, et Elazar ben Chanoch, shepikpek benitilat yadayim, because he questioned the mitzvah of Nitilat Yadayim. And when he died, he was still in his excommunication, so Beitin sent a messenger, Shleach Beitin, to place a stone on his aron to show that he was still in this niduj. The Madcha, to teach you, someone who's put into excommunication dies in that state, Beitin, so clean it aron. Oh, they stone his aron. Again, not literally stone, but they do it or take action to show that he still remains at odds with Beitin. So that was the alternative to in the Mishnah. So here you have two cases in the Mishnah where we had somebody being put into excommunication because of their inappropriate behavior towards a Talmid Chacham, towards the Rabbanan. The next case, which is a Megizda Tov Klape Mala, Mahi, that's when the Mishnah is not in Tanit. Shaloch lo Shimon Bet Shetach, Lechoni HaMagel. Shimon Shetach sent to Lechoni HaMagel after the famous story, where he demanded rain from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after it rained and it was going too high. He says, not like that. I want it nice and gentle. So, Tzarich HaTalit Nadot. Shimon Shetach said, after that incident, you should be put into excommunication. Had you not been choni, I would have put you into excommunication. What can I do? Now, the word mitchate here is a conjugation of the verb that is very difficult. So Rashi tries to give an explanation here. You can see on the side, but under the Ein Mishpat, that Rashi throughout Shas has different explanations of this word. The thematic interpretation of the word here is that someone who speaks to Hashem, but there's obviously something wrong with the way he's speaking. He's speaking in a manner of demand and a manner that probably does not have the requisite kavod. So mitchate lifnei hamakom v'oseh lecha ritzoncha, and you just talk and he does. Kevin shemitchate lifnei aviv, just the way like a child speaks to a father. Sometimes they make requests or ask things in a slightly inappropriate manner because of their status as a son. But I can't do anything. And on you, the pasuk says, "Yismach avicha v'imecha." Your mother and father should be happy. And the one who gave birth to you should rejoice. Meaning that he is of stature and status that he, Rav Shimon Shetach, had really had nothing to do. And since he was such a great person, of course, everybody was proud of him, his parents, and all that were involved with him. He was basically a kiddush Hashem, and so he couldn't really do anything about it, even though his behavior for anyone else would have been considered to be inappropriate. So those are the three instances that we find in the Mishnayot where someone was threatened with excommunication or excommunicated for speaking inappropriately. So when it says Betulaka, are there no other cases? Vaika, the tiny Rav Yosef. Have a case by Rav Yosef, Todus Ish Romi. Todus was the man of Rome, he was the head of the Jewish community in Rome. Hinhiget Bnei Romi, he led the people of Rome to have this following minhag, la'achilam gediyim u'kulasim v'leda pesachim, that on the night of Pesach, they used to basically roast a goat in the similar manner to the Korban of Pesach, which is that they used to do it whole over the spit. V'shalach le'shimon ben shatach, imalei todus satach gozorin alecha nidui. Had you not been todus, I would have excommunicated you. Shatam achilat yisrael kodashim b'chutz, because you're feeding Bnei Yisrael kodashim outside of the Mikdash. Now, obviously, it's not literally Kodeshim Bachutz, but something that can lead to tremendous confusion. And therefore, Shimon Shetach was against that, and that's our minhag today, that we don't have roasted meat on the night of Pesach because of exactly this. And it shouldn't look like we are bringing the Korban Pesach outside of the Mikdash, or we have any Kodeshim outside of the Mikdash. Now, Todos Ish Romi, there's differences in opinion, the Gemara Pesachim, as to whether he was a good person, someone who was a Talmud Chacham, and that's why the Chachamim were not mifakpeg with his reasons, but had not been for his stature, they would have been questioned his reasons or allowing someone to do this. Or Todos Ish Romi, because of his power, his political position, was impossible to excommunicate him, but Shimon Shetach was indicating his displeasure with what he had done. Okay, b'mishtatenu kaminan v'abraitahi. The statement of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi was that we find these cases in the Mishnah, but this case is a case of a braita. And there's no other cases in the Mishnah. Vaika, has it not? We have a Mishnah. Chatchu chuliot, natan chol ben chulia lo chulia. This is the famous tanur shalachnai. This is the case of the machlok between Rav Elazar ben Hukunus and the Chachamim in the Gemara in Baba Tzia and Perka Zahav. And over there you take a oven that was made out of cheres, that was made out of clay. It is mekabel tuma after it's been fired in the kiln. After it's been fired in the kiln, becomes tamei, the only way to be mitaher is to be nititzas, to break it. So if a person slices the oven into pieces, it's no longer a kli, and therefore it is tahor. If you then reattach the oven by putting sand between the pieces that have been cut up, and then you plaster it over, in that instance, there's a machloket chachamim, Rabbi Elazar, as to the status of this oven. Rabbi Elazar mitaher, Rabbi Elazar says it never reattains the status of kli, and therefore it's tahor, v'chamim mitamim. The case of Tanusha Achnai, my Achnai, Amrav Yehuda Meshmo Melamed Shekifua Ochot Ke Achnai. that they surrounded it with proofs and halachot, like a snake enwraps himself around something, so too they get around this oven with all these halachot. Vitimu, and they decided that it's tamei. Vitanyo, we have a brayta that explains what had transpired there. Oto ayom, if you call tarot shitei Rabbi Eliezer, on that day they brought all the tarot. The Rabbi Eliezer said torim because of this tarot shachanai v'safum lefanav, and they burnt it in front of him. Losof birchu, and afterwards they put him into nidui, they excommunicated him. Afilu hachi, the Gemara says nidu met nitan lotnan. Over there, the mention of the nidui, the excommunication, is only in the brayta. The story is in the Mishnah, but the excommunication is only mentioned in the brayta. So where are these 24 places? We only have three. So Bishuman Levi Midamem Milta the Milta. Bishuman Levi extrapolates. He extrapolates from these three cases, and based on that, he finds other cases in the Mishnayot where you have a Yachid, this individual who's arguing vehemently against the Rabbim and doesn't back down from his position, so he should be deserving of excommunication. So he includes those as his count. So that's how he gets the other 21. Rabbi Lazar, Lo Midamem Milta the Milta. Rabbi Lazar only found three. Does not extrapolate. He says, I have three in the Mishnah. I'm going to extrapolate to other cases because in the other cases, excommunication is not mentioned. And so that's why we have this difference in opinion between whether the three or 24. But everybody agrees that there are only three explicit cases in the Mishnah, which we enumerated above. So now the Gemara moves back to the Mishnah. Those that are carrying the mate and those that will replace them. We do not begin the procession to take the mate out, to bury them close to the Zman Kriyat Shema. If you do that, you're going to ruin everybody's chances for saying Kriyat Shema. So if you just postpone it a little bit, give people a chance to say Kriyat Shema, then continue with the procession, it'll work out much better. On the other hand, if they already began the process of being melaveh the mate to the kever, you don't stop in order to have everybody do Kriyat Shema. Once it's in process, in motion, we don't stop. In is that really true? Rav Yosef of Kua Samuch Kriyat Shema. Rav Yosef was taken out Samuch Kriyat Shema. They didn't wait around for this man Kriyat Shema. It says Adam Choshuv Shiny. Very bad. A Talmid Chacham. Someone as Choshuv as Rav Yosef over there, it would be a lack of kavod to postpone his funeral procession because of the Zman Kriyat Shema. When we're talking about normal people, then we would postpone it in order to say Kriyat Shema and then move forward with the funeral procession. Person who is involved with the eulogy. If the mate is present when they're giving the eulogy, then each one of them goes out, they go out individually, and they read Shema, or they say Shema, and then they return. So they slip off one by one to do this. The mate is not present in front of them for the eulogies. They sit down and read Kriyat Shema, and the avel, or the here he is a no name because the mate has yet to be buried, he sits down and is silent. Then they get up after they say Shema, and then they daven Shmoneh Esrei, and then he goes forward and he accepts what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to him. Ribono Olamim, Master of the Worlds, I've sinned before you a lot, and you did not pay me in kind, meaning you haven't punished me. Echad minei elef, one out of a thousand. I mean, I haven't even gotten 1,000th what I deserve. Please, fence in the breaches, our breaches, and the breaches of all of Israel, Berachamim, with mercy. I mean, that please don't punish us in kind or to what we truly deserve. No person should say what is being suggested here by this Tosefto, this Breita, because Damar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, V'chein Tana Mishmeid Rabbi Yossi, Lo'olam Aftach Adam Piv L'Satan. Shimon Lakish, and they also say it over in the name of Rabbi Yossi, that a person should never open his mouth to the Satan, meaning that he shouldn't put himself in a position where he's giving ammunition to the negative side, opening up a petach, opening up a door, Pandora's box. And over here, basically he's saying to God is, I've sinned a lot, and you haven't taken retribution on me. So he's basically asking for God to take retribution on him. So we're not going to allow him to do that. Rav Rav Yosef Maikara, what's the pasuk that shows you that you shouldn't be potech pe le-satan? Shenemar, as it says in Yishayahu, Perakaf is for Shabbat Chazon, after Shabbat Chazon. There it says, kim'at kistom hayinu. In pasuk Tet there, it says, the people describe themselves, the refugees or the remnant of Yerushalayim, describe themselves like we were almost like stone. The destruction that will befall them will be as great as that of Sodom and Gomorrah. The only difference will be that there'll be some remnant. There'll be some that are left over. By Sodom and Gomorrah, everything was destroyed. And then a pasuk later, in pasuk Yud, the Navi Yishayahu gets a nevuah, and it starts like this. Shimu devar Hashem, kitzinei Sodom. Listen to the word of Hashem, you officers of Sodom. So they describe themselves, or they're going to be described as having destruction like Sodom. And the next puzzle begins and says, okay, you want to be like stone? Then you guys are the officer of stone. Basically picks up where they left off. So you see from that, that if a person opens up their mouth for something negative, then sometimes it actually sticks and it is then reflected on them. Kavru ha-meit v'chazru. They buried the meit and now they're on their way back to the shura. Im yocholim la'tchil v'ligmor et kula in aval perek echad o pasuk echad. For our Mishnah, it sounds like if you have a chance and ability to finish the entire Kriyat Shema, you should do it. But if you can only say one parak or one pasuk, don't. V'raminu, we have a braita. Kavru et ha-meit v'chazru miyocholim la'tchil v'ligmor afilu perek echad o pasuk echad. If they can finish the parak, one section, or pasuk echad, one pasuk, hachinami, then you should do it. Mar says, hachinami kamar. That's exactly what's meant in our Mishnah. Miyocholim la'tchil v'ligmor, to begin and finish. What does it mean, finish? Afilu perek echad or afilu pasuk echad. Doesn't mean you have to finish the entirety of the Kriyat Shema. It means that even if you read one pasuk or one parak from it, if you have that opportunity beforehand, you should take that opportunity. Because that actually Yigil HaShira. Actually Yigil HaShira, Yitchilu, then they should start. V'im lav, lo Yitchilu, if they don't have the opportunity to finish at least one section, whether that means a pasuk, a parak, then you shouldn't start. But if you have the ability to finish it, then you should go ahead and do that beforehand, even if it's only a small portion of the Kriyat Shema. Now, Omdim B'Shura. Those that are standing in the Shura, this is to be Menachem Le'avel. Benaban Shura, Haru'a, Pnima, Patura. The inner layer of the Shura, meaning that it wasn't just a single line, a single file line, they were deep. There were one, two, three rows deep of people. So the people who are in the front of the row there, and they're going to be Menachem Le'avel, because they are in the vision and in eye contact with the Avel, they are Turim. And those that cannot see in, meaning that they're behind the first or second rows and they can't really see in, Chayavet, and they are Chayavin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Abayim Machmata Evel, Turim. Machmata Tzman, Chayavim. Depends why you're joining the funeral procession or why you're being Menachem the Avel. If you're there to Menachem the Avel because you have some sort of relationship with the Avel, or because you came to console or give condolences to someone who is in grief, then that's fine. Then you are patur because you're engaged in the mitzvah of nechama here, and therefore you're patur from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. On the other hand, if you just came machmad atzman for your own reasons, chayavin. And as Rashi points out, machmad atzman is that they came for spectacle. They're spectators. They don't have any relationship here. They're just coming to see what's going on. They want to join the party, see what's going on. So those people are not paturim because they're not really engaged in the mitzvah. They're really there out of their own curiosity. What's not clear from Yehuda is what is he modifying? Is he modifying the first statement or the second statement of the Tanna Kamma? Tanna Kamma says the inner people are pturim, the outer people are chayavin. So when he modifies that, is he saying the inner people are pturim, are subject to this qualification, which is they have to be there for the avil and not for spectating? Or is that talking about the outer rows? The outer rows, who are chayavin, according to the Tanna Kamma, Rabbi Yehuda then qualify that statement and say, well, on the outer rows, if they're there for the avil, they're still pturim. But only if they come to be spectators are they then chayavin. It's unclear from Rabbi Yehuda how he's modifying the Tanna Kamma. Now, of course, the last possibility is that Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily arguing on the Tanna Kamma, but he's simply explaining the position of the Tanna Kamma. Some Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Amotze kil'ayim bebigdo, pushtan afilu b'shuk. Person who realizes all of a sudden that he's wearing kil'ayim, he's wearing shatnez, wool and linen together in his beged, he must strip off that beged immediately. Even if he's out in the public domain, he has to take off his shirt, drop it on the spot, and move on. It's my time, huh? Why is that? My sister calls the pasuk for Mishlei, Ein chokma, ve'ein tvuna, ve'ein etzad neged Hashem. There's no wisdom, there's no understanding, and there's no advice going against Hashem. When it comes to mitzvot Hashem, person has no personal discretion about what to do. He must follow the word of Hashem without any questions. Kol makom sheyesh filu Hashem, ein chokim kavod rav. Any time that there's a question mark about Chilul Hashem, meaning the violation of any of the mitzvot of the Torah, not listening to Hashem, in Chokim Kavod Briyot, we don't worry about person's personal honor. Over here, Rav means anybody, a human being. Any human being, we don't take into consideration their feelings in this situation. We say the Torah demands this of you, you must do it. So Meiteve, is that really true? Kavru et meit v'chazru. Lifneim bet derachim. They buried the mate, and now on their way back, and they have two paths to take. Achat te'ora v'achat me'a. One of them has tumanit, one of them is te'ora. If the Avel chooses to return on the path that is Torah, they go follow him that way. And if he goes down the path that is Tamei, you follow him down the path that is Tamei, Mishum Kvodo, because of his honor. Am I? Why should we allow you to become Tamei just for the honor of this Avel? That we don't have any discretion when it comes to the mitzvot. If you're not allowed to become Tamei, that's it, period. Don't become Tamei, irrespective of whether you're being Malaveh and Avel or doing something that is nice. Gemara says, Targa Rabbi Abba Beta Pras. Talking about Tuma Dirabanan, which is a Beta Pras, which is a field in which a kever was lost. We know that somebody's buried there, we just don't know where. And then the field's been plowed over. So now, even if there was somebody buried, we assume that the bones were scattered amongst the whole field. Since they're scattered amongst the field, we don't believe that there's more a size, a bone size, a fragment that's greater than a se'orav, a barley seed. If that's the case, there's no tumat oel here. So if you walk over that field, you won't have any problem. Problem is tumat maga. If you come into contact with those bones, there will be a problem of tumah. So that's only a din derabanan, that we're choshesh in every direction, 100 amot, because of this plowing of the kever in the field. So that's beit pras derabanan. We're talking about derabanan. Damar yudam ashmom min a peach adam beit pras v'olech. How do I know that it's only a din derabanan? Because we allow a person to cross through a beit pras by blowing. If he gets down on the ground and he blows in front of him, he'll be sure that there are no atzamot over there that he will touch and be tamei. And in terms of ohel, we said before that there's nothing here that is mitamei ba'ol. Damar yudam ashim ishmei derab beit pras nidash tohor. Or something that has been walked over sufficiently, meaning it has been packed in the ground, then there's no longer to be any bone that's left there or floating around that you're going to bump into because it's a well-worn path. But you see from both of those dispensations that this is clearly only a din derabanan because we're allowing you to do these methodologies to get out of the problem of tumah, which we would normally not accept when it came to Tuma Deoraita. So Tashma, Damar of Lazar Bar Tzadok, Midalgim Ayinu Agabe Aronot Shel Meitim. We used to skip either over or from one to the next of the coffins of the Meitim, Likrat Malchei Yisrael, to go greet the Jewish kings. V'lo Likrat Malchei Yisrael Bilvad. We didn't just do this for the Jewish kings. Ela Afilu Likrat Malchei Akum. Not only for that, but even for the Malchei Akum, because we saw back on Tet Amud Bet, the same quote here, Shim Yizke Yachin Ben Malchei Yisrael Malchei Akum. Because if he's Zocheh, he can see in this world the royalty that is associated with the non-Jewish kings versus those of the Jewish kings. But then, Latid Davo, he'll get upstairs and he'll realize that the Malchei Yisrael have a much higher standing than Malchei Akum. And so despite the fact that they seem to have greater wealth, opulence, and presentation, in this world, nevertheless, you'll have the opportunity then to see in the world to come that it's all different. Samai, why are you allowed to skip along the coffins over here over the graves? And Rashi points out over here that Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, who's the author of this story, was a Kohen Hava. He was a Kohen, and therefore it was inappropriate for him to do this because a Kohen, when he comes to Mei, then he's in violation of an Isur Doraita, an Isur Min HaTorah of a Kohen not becoming to Mei. Lema, Eino Chochma Vein Tuvah Vein Itza Neged Hashem. Why should the Kohen have any right to do this if we don't allow you to violate a Din Min HaTorah? Okay, the Rova. When it comes to an oel, as long as you have a space of a tefach, an empty space of a tefach, that blocks the tuma from going up. If you don't have that space of a tefach, then it does not block the tuma. So over here you have a case where there's a high possibility that there is no tumat oel here. When you're running across these coffins, across these sarcophaguses, when you touch them, you're above it, and the mate is found inside of them. But since there's an ohel over them, an ohel has two effects. Anything that's under the ohel is tamei, but ohel is also chotzeitz. It stops the tumah from continuing upwards, and therefore it'll be trapped down below in the coffin or the sarcophagus. So therefore it'll be chotzeitz b'nei tumah. V'rov aronot yesh b'em chlal tefach, since most aronot have that space above it, which would make it that there is no tumah above. V'gazru sheyesh b'em mishum she'en b'en. And they made a gzeirah that because there are some coffins that don't have that space, and therefore there would be tumat oel, we say tkoanim should not be found in the Beit HaKvarot, should not be found around these sarcophaguses, these coffins. Umishum kvod malachim lo gazru ben rabbanan. Rabbanan suspended that gzeirah in the face of kvod malachim, running out to greet the kings. So they have built into their gzeirah that there's no issue when it comes to running after malachim, even if there is tumah. Midrabanan. Tashma, Gadol Kvod HaBirot, Shedochet Lo Taseh Shebatorah. Kvod HaBirot is so great that it even knocks off a Lo Taseh in the Torah. Din Deoraita. Vamai. Why should that be possible? Lema Ein Chokma Bein Tuvana Bein Tzadah Neged Hashem. The same puzzle we quoted above. Let's say that you must follow the word of Hashem without respect to Kvod HaBirot. The Targumar of Bar Shava Kamei Rav Kahana Balav De Lo Tosur. Talking about the Lav, the violation of Lo Tosur. So Achikule. So they laughed about this and they heard what he said. Lav De Lo Tosur Doraiti. So what that it's the lav of lotasur? That's another restriction in the Torah. Why should it be any different? Samarov Gana Gavra Rabba Bar Milta Lotachikole. So we just saw this towards the end of Nidah. If a great man says something, you don't laugh about it, because he obviously had reasons for what he said. And then you have to look into what the reasons are instead of laughing and walking away. So Kalmile Dirabanan Asmechinu Alav de Lotasur. No, we're not talking about Dine Do, right? We're talking about here Dine Dirabanan. But Dine Dirabanan are under the umbrella of Lotasur, because the Pasuk says, Lotasur Yamino Small Mikolasha Yerucha. You may not go right or left from what they teach you. That's a restriction against not listening to the Chachamim. It's a famous machloka between the Rambam and the Ramban as to how that works. The Rambam seems to indicate that Lota Sur applies to any Din Derabanan. If you violate a Din Derabanan, you're in violation of that Isur Min HaTorah. The Ramban doesn't like that. He says, what do you mean? Then there's no longer any Safek Derabanan Lekula. Every Safek Derabanan becomes a Safek Doraita. So there the Achronim try to deal with how to answer on behalf of the Rambam. But the Ramban obviously thinks that this lotasur is only nesmachta, and that seems to be the Lashon HaGemara over here, which is that the issue of lotasur is simply an esmachta mushum kvodo shel rabbanan. But when it comes to kvoda briyot, rabbanan suspended their position. So the lotasur is the overarching principle of why you must listen to the rabbis, must listen to the rabbanan. But the rabbanan, when they instituted the gzeira, they put in place also certain exceptions to the rule or certain dispensations, and that is kvoda briyot. The Rabbanan did not uphold their word, which would possibly be a doraita, in the face of kavod ha-briyot. And so over here, that's why it's an exception. So Tashma, from the Gemara in Bometzi, it says, V'italamta mehem. It's talking about Hashavata Veda. It says that you may not look away or disregard the Aveda as if you don't see it. So the Gemara Darshan says that, V'italamta mehem, pamim shatam italei mehem, upamim she'inatam italei mehem. There's sometimes where you may look away and ignore the Aveda. There's sometimes that you're not allowed to do that. Haketzad, what's the distinction? Imaya Kohen vihi bebet akvarot. If he's a Kohen and it's found in a cemetery, then we don't ask the Kohen to go into the cemetery and become Tamei and violate an Isur Doraita in order to bring you back your Aveda. Or if he was an elder gentleman who was of a certain stature and it would be beneath him to go and pick up your Aveda and to deal with it, he's also a Patur. Or the foregone income that he would have taking care of his friend's Aveda would exceed the value of the Aveda. And therefore his friend's not going to want it to pay more than the value of the Aveda to get it back. In those instances, you should walk away. Amai, how could you walk away? Should say that this is a mitzvah min HaTorah. Why should there be any option or exception to the rule? So shani hotam dichtiv italamta mehem. That is not a question, because we have a specific pasuk that guides us in this case, which says, "V'italam t'mehem." There are certain instances where you are given that right to walk away. So when it says, "V'ligmar mina," so why don't we learn from that? Let that become a paradigm. When it says, "Isura mimimona lo yofinan," this is a monetary matter. In monetary matters, the din may be different than when we come to isura. And therefore, when we're talking about kilayim, we're going to say, "Strip off your begging in the shuk," and we're not going to say, "I just wear it back because of kavod ha-briyot." So Tashma. Next case is from the Pasuk by Nazir. By Nazir it says, Al Nefesh Meit Lo Yavo. He may not come into contact with a dead person. And after it says, it lists out who he's not allowed to come to Meit for. Laviv, Uli Imo, Uli Achiv, Uli Achoto. His father, his mother, his brother, his sister. So Gemara says, why do you need those? Those are all extraneous. He said already, Al Nefesh Meit Lo Yavo. That you're not allowed to become to Meit to any Tuma Tameit. So that should apply equally to any other person, as well as his relatives. So why is it mentioning them separately? Why is it enumerating them separately? So the Gemara in other places says, I'll tell you why. Aviv, the fact that he's not allowed to be metameh to his father, says you're not allowed to be metameh for your father, but you are allowed to be metameh for meit mitzvah. Some person who has no one to take care of their burial, that's called a meit mitzvah, and you are obligated to become metameh and engage in that instance. That's what we learn out of Aviv. Imo, from Imo we learn out that even if he's not just a Nazir, but he's a Nazir that is also a Kohen, in that instance, since he has a double kedusha, you would think maybe over there he shouldn't become tamei for meit mitzvah. We still say that he's allowed to become tamei for meit mitzvah. Next case is a case of achiv. So achiv, we say, what happens if he is a nazir and a kohen gadol? Maybe over there he shouldn't become tamei for meit mitzvah. Comes along achiv to tell him that for his brother he may not become tamei for meit mitzvah. He may become tamei. The last one is achoto, and that's what our gemara is discussing over here. Achoto, matam lomar. So why did he write achoto? We already learned everything out of aviv, imo, and achiv. So we learned out from there that a Nazir must become Tamei for a Meit Mitzvah. We heard that a Nazir Kohen must become Tamei for a Meit Mitzvah. And a Nazir Kohen Gadol must become Tamei for a Meit Mitzvah. So what are we going to do with the Achotol? Mercedes, it's extraneous. But if we can't use it for the issues of Nazir, it's nailed in Yenachir, we're going to deal with something else. And that is this case here. He was heading out to bring a korban haPesach, the molad b'no, or to give a brit milah to his son, and gets word of the fact that he is now an onein, or going to be an avel, because he has a mate that passed away. I would think he should go back and take care of them and come to May. But once he comes to May, he's going to preclude himself from carrying out the other mitzvah that he needs to do. So where it says, Bitzatamart lo yitama. Pasuk says, by the Nazir, you're not allowed to become to May. Yochuk shem shenu mitame lahem, kachenu mitame the mitzvah. So I would say, just like you're not mitame for Korban HaPesach or for Milah, so too you shouldn't be mitame for mit mitzvah. You may not become to May for your sister, but you're allowed to become to May for a mate mitzvah, even in the face of losing out on doing the Korban HaPesach and Brit Milah for your child. Because in this instance, if he becomes Tamei, that will preclude him from taking care of either of these issues. And by doing so, he's actually going to run himself up against the Karet, which is that there are two mitzvot to say, there are two positive commandments that have a Karet associated with them. One of them is Milah, and the other one is Korban HaPesach. So here you're going to be, quote-unquote, Chayav Karet if you do not perform the mitzvah. Nevertheless, mate mitzvah trumps. And that's what Ochoto comes to teach you. May not trump becoming tamei for a relative like your sister, but mate mitzvah does trump in this case and says that he does become tamei, even if it will now ruin his chance of bringing the Korban Pesach or giving a brit to his child. So Mar says again, am I? Why is that true? Why don't we say the same thing over here, which is, why should he become tamei for a mate mitzvah? In this instance, he has no reason to become Tamei, except that there's a mate mitzvah here, but he has, on the other hand, he has a restriction in the Torah not to become Tamei. So why doesn't that govern over here? It says, Shani Hotom, Titiv L'Choto. There's a difference over there because the Pasuk specifically gives you the reason. It gives you a miut of L'Choto. So L'Choto teaches you that's the case. It says, V'ligmor Mina. Why don't we learn from L'Choto and extrapolate that paradigm to the rest of the cases? It says, Shev Altasa Shani. The case of Achuto is a case of passive violation of the Torah law. Because in that case, he's supposed to bring his Korban HaPesach. He's supposed to perform Brit Milah. And if he doesn't do that, then all he's doing is, through passivity, he's in violation of those mitzvot. He's not actively violating those mitzvot, he's only doing it through passivity. And we know throughout Shas, the Chachamim were empowered to be ochre something in the Torah, b'sheva al tase. So this is a case of sheva al tase, where you're passive, and then, because of your passivity, you are now in violation of what would be an Isur Karet. Because it's Sheva Altase, we can't extrapolate that from the thing like a Kum Vase, which is the case of Kilayim. He's wearing a Beged Kilayim. It's not that he's just sitting around. No, he put on a Beged and he's wearing the Beged. That's an Isur of Kilayim, so he has to remove it. Because that is a Kum Vase, and therefore we can't extrapolate from the case of Meit Mitzvah, from Achoto, to our case of Kilayim over here. I'll just note one thing about the cases. We talked about a hierarchy of moving from a Nazir to a Nazir Kohen to a Nazir Kohen Gadol, and then to Achoto, which was this issue with the Korban HaPesach and the Brit Milah. The question is, who are we talking about in that final case? Rashi mentions a couple of times, it's talking about a Nazir Kohen Gadol. A Nazir Kohen Gadol now adds on another level of Kedusha. We started out with Nazir, added a level of Kohen, added another level because he's a Kohen Gadol. Now this is the fourth thing, which is we added the Kedusha of going to do a mitzvah taseh that involves Karet. So that adds up another dimension of Kedusha. Tosafot doesn't love that because he says he doesn't think it's necessary. We're already, all these people are already given to make mitzvah. Korban HaPesach is not a direct Kedusha of the individual, that should add some dimension to the case here. And therefore Tosafot suggests that the case by Achoto is talking about a regular person, about the issue of Korban HaPesach and Brit Milah, which involve a Karet, an Aseh to Karet. So over there, that's why we're speaking about these instances or these cases, even though it does not involve a Kohen or a Nazir or anybody else. Now Rashi asks the very obvious question, which is, we had four words in the Pasuk. We had Aviv, Imo, Achiv, Achoto. Now, the Achoto we use for a case of Sheva Altase, which is Korban Pesach HaMilah. But the first three cases were cases of Kum Va'ase. He's actively going to deal with the Meit Mitzvah in order to take care of that Meit Mitzvah and become Tamei. That's active violation of the Mitzvah. And how come over there we don't bring those as paradigms? Why is it when we say Sheva Altase? Rashi says something very interesting and very difficult. He says that by the other cases, the reason that the lotase is suspended here is not because of Kavod Riyot, because made mitzvah, the Isser of Tumah was not associated with the made mitzvah. And therefore, when the Isser of becoming Tameh for the Nazir or for the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol was written, it already had a built-in exemption for the case of made mitzvah. And so over there, you're really not even in violation of this Isser because made mitzvah is already built-in dimension. And then he says, but that's not true by the Korban HaPesach. By Korban HaMitzvah, there's no built-in dispensation because it deals with all of Klai Yisrael. If it deals with all of Klai Yisrael, then it's clear that there's no dispensation. The question is why? It can be equally true that by Pesach, you do have the same din, which is that there's a suspension of the din in the face of Meit Mitzvah, just like by the other cases. That's what Tosafot asks over here. He says, I don't understand that distinction that Rashi drew. And therefore he offers an alternative distinction, which is, Ela nira demi nazir lo gamrinan dema nazir shekin yeshno b'sheila. Nazir is a new case, which is not really a full-fledged isur, because you can undermine the nazirut by doing hatarat nidarim. Hemi kohen, mala kohen shekin lav shein b'hevevakol. Kohen, the restriction against Tumah is also not a full-fledged restriction, because kohen is not something that is applies to everybody, but to a specific part of the population. Then, by Pesach HaMilah, they have broad appeal and effect because they affect all of Klal Yisrael. And so therefore, over there, they are like a real lav. And those are real issues. And because they are real issues, that Kavod HaBriyot would dictate, the answer is no, that it's a case of Sheva Al Tasa. That's one way to formulate. The other way to formulate is that they were dealing with a Chiyuv Karet. And since it's a Chiyuv Karet, we're talking about a much higher level or serious issue. And despite that fact, we have the dispensation over there. So that's why we would have used that as the paradigm. Again, the Gemara rejects that as the paradigm because they say that's a case of Sheva Al Tase. But if it's a Kumva Ase, we would not apply it. Okay, I'm going to stop over here.